Happy Thursday, it's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. He is in the house. We are at One Buck Palace. Sage, how are you?
Doing well. It's a special day. They're going to kick us out of here, you know, this afternoon, and we're not going to be back for about 6 weeks. And when we do come back, it's full on. 2018 season's going to be on us.
Well, Ira, you know what? No one's kicking you out. We're here. We got all kinds of stuff flowing. And, of course, we're presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, as a man on the edge like you are, you need more peace of mind because you don't have a lot of peace
of mind. Ain't that the truth?
Get more peace of mind knowing every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. All like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices because if it has our name on it, and that's Ed Morris, you have our word on it. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. We'll talk about Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa a little bit later, Ira.
I'm easy, Steve. All Ed Morris has to do is call me Sage once during the pitch for a car, and I'm signing on the dotted line. I'm easy.
All right, Sage. We are at minicamp. We've got an exciting guest or two lined up coming later for next week's podcast. So I want everybody to subscribe at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, wherever you want your free alert. If you haven't listened to Jameis Winston, if you've been busy, he was on Tuesday's podcast. Go back and listen to that anytime.
Hey, just because this organization is going on a 6-week siesta, you know, and spreading out and going to all parts unknown, we don't do that, Lee. We don't do that here at Joe Bucks Fan. We're going to keep up these podcasts, the columns, the stories. How you and Isbits fill the next 6 weeks is one of the great mysteries of the world, but you do it.
Year-round, man. Year-round. That's what we're famous for.
You know, Cutter's in Pocatello, Idaho, and Light's playing golf in Nebraska. You guys are putting out football stories.
Of course, that's the voice of Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbits, if I didn't mention that. And here we are, Ira. Mandatory minicamp. Yesterday, Jason Pierre-Paul talked to the media. You got to watch practice and sweat. I saw you out there with your towel and your hat. You looked like
it. I have the Vivin hat. I had the towel. I'm all set.
Fans were out there. They let in some select suite holders, season ticket holders. What stood out to you from yesterday's activities? And we're talking Tuesday when I say yesterday, day one.
Well, first of all, the turnout was very good. The sun was beating down on us today, Wednesday. I think we got a little more cloud cover than Tuesday, thank God. But Tuesday was a scorcher. But there were a lot of people out there, observers, suite holders, business people, sponsors. But it was a big crowd.
Hangers-on.
Hangers-on, always. Unlike Isbits and you're over there in Shade Central under the umbrella, and I'm under there wandering all the way around. I'm going by the workout sleds, and I'm watching these guys go out. I watched the quarterbacks a little bit, Steve. I thought they were sharp. Now look, in the classic words of Mr. DeKemper, underwear football, don't read too much about it. Some guy was running downfield with the receivers. He was putting his hands up in the air. That's all he was doing. He was an assistant coach. So, you know, it's not too hard. I think DeKemper could have thrown about 60% completions. But they look sharp. You know what I noticed? Guys are serious. Guys are serious about making this a better year. And they better be. Mm-hmm. Because, Lee, we've said it before. Jobs are on the line, baby. And we're not just talking about the players.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Your column Wednesday morning, one of the commenters in your column, he's a regular commenter on JoeBucksFan.com, I think it's 813 Bucks Boy or something like that. He summed it up in two words. Show me. I mean, people are tired of the talk. People are tired of the excuses. They want results. They want to see it. Coaches get the sense their backs are against the wall, and it's fair to suggest that because the Glazers have only had one coach who had two consecutive losing seasons, and he kept him. His name was John Gruden. Yeah, when they bought the team, Sam Weish was on board. They didn't hire Sam Weish.
You know, Lee, a couple of days ago, I was flipping the dials about 10 o'clock at night, and there was the Hard Knocks Episode 1.
Yeah, I was watching it.
From last year. And what's the very first scene? Dirk Cutter in front of the stage in that big meeting room. And the first thing Cutter says is, there's a lot of talent in this room, gentlemen. More talent than this team's had in quite a while. Am I right, Lee? Is that
what
he said?
He said.
And then they went out and went 5-11.
Yeah.
So show me. That's I think that's the mantra of Buck fans.
Before we go any further, I have to confess something. In a podcast last week, I had an error. I talked about how Mark Duffner, the linebackers coach of the Bucks, was on Woody Hayes' staff at the Gator Bowl when Woody Hayes punched Charlie Bauman at Clemson, and that killed his career. Duffner had left two seasons prior to that.
There you
so,
go.
Mea culpa, I was wrong on that.
It's nice to hear DeKemper apologize, isn't it, Steve? It was That's a nice tone for a Thursday.
It was really cool. The other day, Duffner tackled, form tackled Lee and pounded him a couple of times to straighten that out on the record.
He's a good man. Duffner's a good man.
Hey, Ira, come on. We're not sitting under the umbrella. Okay, cut that out.
Well, I'm over there wandering all over the place, and I didn't see you.
Well, yesterday, all these season ticket holders had all the umbrellas, so I didn't have any choice but to roast.
All right,
I was shooting video,
I'm
too.
I'm out there in the scorching sun, Steve. I'm backing down from that.
So you like the quarterbacks. I'm assuming this was mostly drills because Jameis did miss his share of targets
here and there. They were drills. They were drills.
I got you. You're liking the footwork. Sage is studying, doing his study. Very interesting.
The technique looks good.
The next Bob Begin.
The early technique. But no, I am not going to do a play-by-play of OTAs. I'm not doing that.
What'd you make of Jason Pierre-Paul coming out saying, hey, you know, look, OTAs, no, I didn't show up. I was very busy moving. I got some moving plans, and I got to take care of you. I'm moving my family.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
And he also said that he should be a pretty quick study. He's going to do what he always does, which is not talk too much and just play. He'll follow Gerald McCoy. And what do you think of all that?
I'm going to go back to the words of Lee DeKemper. Show me. Show me that you're committed to this team. Look, I'm not saying that Pierre-Paul's absence is going to cost this team a win or two. I'm not going to make an outlandish statement like that. It would have been nice for the old Beach Boys single. Wouldn't it be nice if Pierre-Paul was here for most of the OTAs? Look, guys, it's a new team, new teammates, a new scheme. You don't think the Giants are using Mike Smith's scheme, do you, Lee? That's a whole other subject for you.
I don't think anybody in the NFL is using that scheme.
Steve, it would have been nice.
Scheme is the apropos word, come to think of it.
You know, I understand he's got to set up his family, you know, but
who doesn't?
There's plenty. Yeah, who doesn't?
Doesn't he have a family?
You know, look, I mean,
it's not like he's moving. Well, I mean, technically he's moving from New York, but he lived in South Florida. I mean, come on.
Steve, they got five new defensive linemen as we sit here. Five. Out of the eight, probably, that they're going to carry. And he's the centerpiece. Not Vita Vea. He's the centerpiece. Vita Vea is not supposed to get 11 sacks. This guy's counted on to get, you know, 9, 10, 11 sacks. Neither is Mitch Onrein, you know. And honestly, neither is Vinnie Curry and Bo Allen. This is the guy that's supposed to bring the heat, starting in the Superdome, week one. Now, Lee, I don't know if you saw my column on Brent Grimes. It ran on Wednesday. But I got Grimes to talk a lot about from a cornerback's perspective. Not even so much Grimes, but I'm thinking more of the Ryan Smiths and the Hargraves of the world, the Javian Elliotts, and whatever rookie, Carlton Davis or whoever, gets a lot of playing time. The impact of a pass rush, Lee, I don't think you can overvalue it in terms of coverage and how Ryan Smith, you know, took a beating in 2017. And all of a sudden, if Drew Brees has to get the ball out early in the opener, Ryan Smith could look very good. He might jump a route or two. And Pierre-Paul's a big part of that. So getting back to Steve's question, Lee, I would have liked to have seen him there. I don't think it's a disgrace. It's not. I don't think it's a travesty. But I go back to when the Bucks were kings, you know, making the playoffs every year. And the word voluntary wasn't used very much with OTAs back then, and I think this team has to get back to that.
And I continue to bring this up because I think it was key that Sepp went bananas because Keyshawn didn't show up for OTAs. I mean, to this day, Sepp goes crazy about that. That's how passionate he believed in you get your butt in here.
And Keyshawn was a very accomplished player at that time.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was a scrub or a rookie.
Ira, I asked Dirk Cutter yesterday about Ronald Jones because Jameis Winston spoke and said that Jones takes everything very seriously. And Jameis sort of implied that, not every player takes everything so seriously, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but Jameis made it sound like Jones's seriousness is very good and he's starting to get it. And he's not the kind of guy who, you know, makes a mistake and sort of smiles and says, darn it, I'll get him next time. He's very serious. So I followed up with Cutter on that. And Cutter said, yeah, he's serious. But the body language from Cutter was that, man, he's got a long way to go. And, you know, just he's not one to celebrate rookie running backs.
Lee, we're not surprised at that, Lee, because Cutter's thinking of, you know, the three or four things that his running backs have to do. the pro pass, the blocking, you know, catching balls out of the backfield, which Jones has a lot to prove in that regard. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he can't do it.
Sure.
But he wasn't asked to do it as a Trojan very often.
Bingo.
And so, Lee, you know, when you ask Cutter about a rookie back, that's what he's thinking about. You know, can I trust this guy to make the block on the blitzing linebacker? Meanwhile, the three of us looking around, Jones say, run, baby, run.
Yeah,
run.
Steve's written about this countless times. He did the research. Cutter's history with rookie running backs is sketchy.
He's afraid Winston's going to get killed on a missed block.
I go back to this. You've been covering the NFL for 40-some years, coming up on 40 years.
Thank you.
When Eric Dickerson was coming out of college, did you hear anyone complain about him blocking?
Zero.
Thank you. When Ezekiel Elliott was coming out, did you hear anybody talk about his block?
You hear anybody talk about Alvin Kamara or Kareem Hunt?
Thank you.
As a blocker?
Now,
yeah.
I know Michael Lombardi on one of his podcasts a few months ago, he said, when you study running backs, you study blocking first. That's nonsense. I love Michael Lombardi, but you're trying to tell me you draft a guy because he can block, not because he could run? That's Michael Clayton nonsense.
That's like saying you want to trade for Madison Bumgarner off my Giants. Because the guy's a good hitting pitcher. Yeah, you know, come on. Look, Steve, if Ronald Jones averages 4.4 yards a carry and busts 6 20-yard runs in the 2018 season, I don't give a damn how he blocks. How do you like that, DeKemper?
Well, I'll go back to this. I saw Mike Florio's been showing clips. He's infatuated. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Network. He's infatuated with Chris Sims throwing a 51-yard bomb to Joey Galloway over the middle. Was Cadillac Williams, as a young running back, was he good?
He was Hall of Fame good
on that
those first five games.
On that play that Florio constantly replays, Cadillac Williams got blown up on a block. I never heard anybody complain about his blocking. I'm fed up with this.
Meanwhile, shoes are in Canton.
Now, I'm not saying blocking is trivial, but hello, folks. The Bucs couldn't run the ball last year. So you're going to bring them blocking back in?
You know, Steve, it's an extra element that's nice. You know, like a receiver like Hines Ward, who is a heck of a receiver.
But
he's a great blocker. It adds to his value.
Borderline Hall of Fame
Hall of Fame.
He was an outstanding blocker. But that's icing on the cake.
Steve, it adds to your value. It's not how you get evaluated.
Well, I'll take it to recent Bucs history. I don't disagree with you, but there are a lot of Bucs fans and media as well who constantly freaking out, oh, LeGarrette Blount can't catch. He's not a receiver. He's the box the way they use him. He telegraphs everything because when he's in the game, he's on third down, he's never thrown a ball, and he's a liability. Well, it's got to go both ways, and a lot of people thought, oh, this guy can't play on third down.
He's going to finish with a nice 10-year career, Lee, when it's all said and done.
How many rings?
Three.
I gotta say, I'm one of the guys that I've underrated LeGarrette Blount. What he does well. Steve, you play to
his
strengths.
With LeGarrette Blount is an example of how two coaches, for very different reasons, ran off excellent players, and I suggest this team is still recuperating from that. Shiano ran off disgraced Kellen Winslow, but he didn't do a whole heck of a lot after he left the Bucs. Ran off LeGarrette Blount. For whatever reason, I ain't going to say what I was told. But under his watch, Michael Bennett was left. You could draw your own conclusions. Someone else was run off by Shiano.
Talib.
Then Lovey comes in. Very first thing he does, Darrell Revis can't play for me. Runs off Donald Penn. I mean, just you can go to a bar. You know, mind you, how many millions of dollars the Glazers spent on these two coaches for reasoned evaluations, where you and I, Ira, or for that matter, Brian Glazer, could have walked into a bar, put $20 on the bar, and had some drunk come up with better decisions.
Now, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite. When Blount was a Buck, Lee, and you were in there like I was, he was very tight with Mike Williams, very tight. Those two guys were hanging out. And I kind of got the impression that neither one of them was that passionate about football. You know, not like to a Jameis Winston degree, something like that.
Oh, no, neither.
Or Mike Evans degree. Mm-hmm. I always felt that. They were too casual. They had a too casual approach, I thought. But you know what? Blount has gone on. And
nice little career.
Seems to be a winner.
Yeah.
Nice little career. Doesn't cause any problems.
Not enough to sink a Super Bowl
Stevie,
team.
Stevie, he's a little bit underrated. I mean, let's be honest. I think I was wrong on LeGarrette Blount.
Well, I'll tell you this about Blount. In retrospect, I think it was him and Shiano clashed. And I saw it with my own eyes. When Blount got enough carries, Didn't matter if the team won or not. He was happy as could be. If the Bucks won and he didn't have his carries, he couldn't run off that field quick enough.
That's a Keyshawn Johnson attitude.
Is that right?
Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
Yeah, look, it goes so many different ways. I mean, look, Jason Light ran off Bradley McDougal. Why is he gone? He was a good starter on a solid starter on a defense that wasn't brutal in 2016.
Think he was developing.
Right. Well, he was, right? Yeah. He had a great year in Seattle, got a new contract. Mason Foster is a guy who's been just keeps playing good linebacker. He couldn't have been the outside linebacker or the strong side linebacker for this team over, you know, over the last bunch of years. You know,
Ronald Jones is here to bust runs, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Bust runs. That's what he's going to be judged on.
He didn't spend a second round pick for a blocking back.
So it'll be fun to see. The Blunt thing, I was always a huge Blunt fan. I never got the dislike of Blunt. He goes out, he performs. Nobody ever said this guy doesn't perform.
Yeah.
You know what? The craziest example of that for me was Blunt goes to New England and Belichick makes him a kick returner. And he's like the number eight kick returner in the league that year. And meanwhile, Shiano's running through a laundry list of guys trying to find someone to return a kick, and Blunt's sitting there.
You know, Lee, he's going to end up playing for six or seven teams. He's going to play, you know, 10 or 11 years. And he's going to have good numbers. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to average 3.2 yards for his career.
Yeah.
He's going to have a good – and he scores touchdowns. The Bucs scored 8 rushing touchdowns last season. 8.
Well –
that's a big part of the reason they bogged down in the red zone.
One of the two – winning seasons this team has had since Chucky got run out of the building was when LeGarrette Blount was their tailback.
Yeah.
What can I say?
All right, Ira. Everyone right now needs to take their phone and text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Let's try not to knock on the table during the podcast. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That's going to get you your information for the Fan Retreat event, the Bourbon Street TAKEOVER. For opening day in New Orleans, just a lot of fantastic stuff. And fanretreat.com, that's where you go for your tickets, event tickets, sports tickets, flights, hotels, and more is even coming. Soon you're going to have reservations, dinner reservations that you can make through other opportunities there on fanretreat.com.
I'm looking forward to that trip so much. I might go in a day early over there just to go to that gumbo shop that the Kemper keeps talking about.
You will be there, of course, Saturday night before the game. There will be an event that everyone will be invited to. There's not going to be a charge, from what I understand at all. It'll be all part of the deal, and Ira will be speaking.
And all fellow Buck fans, all fellow
loaded
Buck.
With stick carriers, all kinds of fun. But FanRetreat.com, we appreciate their support of Ira's podcast. And
you're going to New Orleans?
No. We'll be having a watch party at Abe's in Clearwater. Of course, most fans won't be going to New Orleans, sadly, but we can join over at Abe's place. There's going to be some cool giveaways. I'll be out there. That's going to be a hell of an opening day, Ira.
Gentlemen, what are the chances that when Isbitz is watching at Abe's place with his fellow Buck fans, and he turns up the volume at Abe's place,
and he's going to hear somebody yell dilly dilly?
What are the chances that the guy who's doing the play-by-play that day for Fox, be a Fox broadcast, not only mentions Joe Buck's fan or the stick carriers, but throws out the word sage on the air. What are the chances?
Are you telling me Chris Myers is doing play-by-play that game?
If it's Chris Myers, he definitely would refer to the to Joe Buck's fan.
But it's always fun in preseason because you never know where Chris Myers is going to go with the
Him and Rondé, they could drop a couple of stick carrier references.
Oh, they always do.
Yeah, Chris Myers is famous for that. We're good friends. I'm looking forward to seeing him this summer.
And for people who are not aware, Chris Myers is the preseason TV voice of the Buccaneers.
Absolutely.
And for those unaware, that Beach Boys classic I heard mentioned previously, 1971, we all remember it.
That late?
No, it's not 1971. Get your facts right.
I just pulled it up right here on the internet.
Wouldn't it be nice? Pet Sounds. It's the lead track on Pet Sounds, 1966.
Pet Sounds? What, have little puppies barking?
How much do I have to teach you about popular culture?
Ira, I apologize. I misread my computer. You're right. It's 1966, July 18th. How about that?
Pet Sounds, a classic album. An album that the Beatles listened to and were very influenced. And McCartney and Lennon said, we got to top Brian Wilson. And they came up with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You know, that's a true story.
You know what David Lee Roth said about the Beatles, right?
Who said it?
David Lee Roth. You know what he said about the Beatles? What
did he say?
Expletive the Beatles.
Oh, that's like De Niro at the Tony Awards. You may proceed, Stephen.
All right, thank you, Ira. One thing I noticed, just my general observations from OTAs and including the initial minicamp day, Vernon Hargraves, very comfortable inside as a cornerback. He's had a good spring, probably the best spring, in my opinion. And out of the defensive players, you know, of course, the linemen are doing nothing in underwear football, nothing legitimate. But he seems very comfortable there. Do you think that they're going to let him compete to be an outside guy and shift inside on third down? Or you think they'll, in my opinion, get their head straight and say, look, just make him the nickel, let him settle in there, let him do his thing, and we'll go from there?
I tend to agree with you, Steve. Now, as we speak, the Kemper's blood is boiling because we know what's coming. We know what's coming. Yes, Lee, they didn't draft him number 11 to be a slot corner, but I'm going to say this. If he turns out to be a good slot corner, he's going to be on the field 65-70% of the time.
Yeah.
And he's going to fill a big need. So you can talk about how it's disappointing for the, you know, number 11 draft pick and this and that all you want, Lee. But if he fills that slot, literally and figuratively, that slot, I'm not going to make a big deal about it because
they need help. That's
a key spot.
They need help. If he can play, I mean, if he can play there proficiently, it helps. They need help. They need help in the secondary, cornerback specifically. I will say this.
And that would open a spot for one of those rookies.
Which I have.
You know, you keep an open mind.
Yeah, I'm keeping an open mind, but I have no faith. 2 years.
You're on they can't record. Produce, You're
yeah,
on record.
They can't produce rookies, and I just fear what may happen. I will say this about Hargrave at slot. And like I said, if he plays well there, you know, the Bucks can't be picky. If he plays well there, I'm going to ask you, Ira. I know my answer. If he plays well there next year, will he have his option picked up? Will he have his fifth-year option picked up?
You know what? I got the right answer. The answer is yes.
Really?
If Jason Light's still the general manager.
That's
my answer.
I would say if Jason Light's still here, the answer would be no. Because you're gonna pay that kind of bread to a slot?
Jason Light wants Vernon Hargraves to succeed. More than Vernon Hargraves wants Vernon Hargraves to succeed. Investiture, Lee.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's a lot of bread for a slot corner.
Well, that looks like a weak draft class, Steve, right now. And if Hargraves doesn't make a dent, that's going to go down as a terrible draft class. And Light can't allow that to happen. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, Lee.
I know what you're saying, but if you're coming from a Glazer point of view,
not breaking the bank for Vernon Hargraves.
Well, that's what I mean. If you're going to pick up that option, that's a lot of bread. And are you going to do that for a position?
If he takes a big step up in 2018, a major step.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash for just to save face.
I understand.
I agree with you, Ira, just because, look, the Glazers have signed off and smile about, and they've paid plenty of guys who stink. Yeah, I mean, we've got guys on the roster this year who had bad years last year and don't have guaranteed money, and they're back. We've seen that in the past from Alteron Verner. We've seen it from they redid Sweezy's deal last year when he was hurt, and we saw it with Vincent Jackson coming off an injury that gave him $11 million for his last year.
We saw it with Doug Martin.
We saw it. Well, I try to block out Doug Martin.
And I bring him right back to reality.
So we just saw it with Doug Martin. So in your hypothetical era, if Hargraves has a good year as a slot, then, just because you give a guy his fifth option after his third year doesn't mean he has to be on the roster. If he has a crappy fourth year, you can let him go. The fifth-year option's only there, but you only pay him if he actually
makes it. Lee, if he's good and you let him go, that's another hole you got to fill.
But you know what? If they win and Cutter's back, I don't think it's so embarrassing. Because if they win, I think it's fair to suggest if they win, if they make the playoffs, that a lot of the guys that Light signed this last offseason have had positive impacts.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
But it will be interesting. I think the top slot guy in the game, and I looked it up, Ira, and this is not a Beach Boys screw-up here. I apologize. You could argue the top slot guy in the game, contract-wise, is Patrick Robinson. It was with the Eagles. He was out there, big money in free agency, and he is now getting $5 million a year. With our team that we love to talk about, the Saints, one of their huge additions.
And, he wasn't that good as an outside corner, but he's found a niche.
Right, he found a niche. So if they have to give Hargraves $6-7 million on a fifth-year option and overpay him a little as a top slot guy, but we'll see. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But it is a great it's a great thing to debate. You know, they might tell him no, or Hargraves might not be interested in it. Who knows? If he thinks he's an outside corner, he's going to want that money. I would want that outside corner money, too.
And there's always a possibility some other team out there will give him another shot at an outside corner and wave catch in his face.
Steve, what'd you think of Levante's? We got Levante on Wednesday. Guys, what'd you think of Levante's body language when he was reminded of, you know, that ugly fact that he hasn't made the playoffs, neither has his buddy Gerald. And of course, you know, you wouldn't wish this on anybody, but, you know, there's a possibility that both of those guys could end up finish their careers without tasting the postseason. Nobody would
sort of like
nobody
Joe
would
Thomas.
Want that, you know, on your worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, do you notice anything from Levante's body? Is he fed up? Is he disgusted about this? Is he motivated by it, or is he beaten down by it?
I was not there, Ira, because I talked to Levante solo, one-on-one, Tuesday, and I already felt that I got everything I was
going to get. What kind of vibe did you get
out of him? You know, I asked him about changes in the team and what's different, and he came out, Ira, sounds like you didn't read it, which would not be surprising since you're usually a little behind with your Joe Bucks fan reading. He said flat out last year that the team, and himself included, was embarrassed. He used the word embarrassed by what they did last year. And I just think David knows that the past has just been lousy. But look at all the losing this guy's dealt with. Lee always points out that, hey, you know, nobody points to David for all the losing, and they point to McCoy. But, you know, David, my take from him is that he doesn't have that perspective yet of a 30-year-old guy looking back on his career. David sees himself as, I'm in my prime.
Approaching my prime, yeah.
In his prime, my shoulder's feeling better, and he's just not in that mentality yet. So I just think, you know, he turned 28 years old. I just think he's a little more, you know, a little more upbeat when it comes to the future and his career.
Lee, if he ends up 2018 with zero interceptions and zero sacks, I say shame on the coaching staff. I'll put it out there right now.
I don't think that's outrageous at all to say. I think you're right. A couple of things here, kind of trivial-esque. You know, we were talking about David and McCoy, a very real possibility they could finish their careers without a postseason game, not a win, a game. Joe Thomas was that way in Cleveland. Oddly enough, no one gives Joe Thomas any hell.
Nobody.
But Gerald McCoy is, to some people, you know, Lucifer himself walking in the face of the earth. And a piece of trivia here, Lavonte David has a worse winning percentage than Gerald McCoy. Because McCoy was on two winning teams. Lavonte was only on one.
Gotcha.
And here's one for you. Wayback machine, when you're about 50 years old and George Halas was coaching. I thought he'd get a smile from you. Are you aware that Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus never played in the playoff game?
Two Hall of Famers. They came in the same draft class.
Same draft class, and arguably the elite of their position in the history and the annals of NFL.
And guys, here's another offshoot of the terrible, you know, records of this franchise. I call it a lost decade. I don't think that's a reach.
Hold that, Ira. Speaking of Hall of Fame legends, let's hear from Brian Danahy, Ed Morris Cadillac, Tampa general manager, and your unique questions of him just the other day. Okay, Ira, we're here, right here, Ed Morris Cadillac, Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. And we're here with Brian Danahy, general manager, the chief, the star here, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator at Ed Morris Cadillac, Tampa. I know you've got some questions.
Brian, we talk about this dealership quite a bit on Joe Bucks Fan, deservedly so. So I've got a chance to ask you a couple of questions, so I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. 70-plus years of Ed Morris quality and service all across Florida. What does that mean to you? What should listeners know about that?
It's funny, Ira. The way when you put it that way, 70 years is a really long time. My grandfather started the business 70 years ago. I think he might have sold you his first car.
you take lessons from Steve, man. I'm telling you.
But all seriousness, my uncle's been in it. My mother is in it. My father, my brother, my cousins. So it's a family-run business. We treat all our employees like family. One of the things, though, that's allowed us to be successful is our ability to give back to the community. My grandfather started giving back to the MDA a long, long time ago. And over 20-some-odd years now, we've had a golf tournament that's generated tons of money for the MDA. When we started doing some of the things over here, we supported My Hope Chest in October. We have a fund for a local charity that we believe in because the money stays in-house. We know that the money's being used the right way. And we've generated over $20,000 in the month of October for them over for the past 5 years. So that's a really cool thing for us. We're also supporting USF and the Education Foundation with scholarships funds also. So giving back to the community is really, really important to us.
Love that answer. Before Brian came in, I had a couple of minutes to check out the showroom. Boy, what an array of Cadillacs. Each one you're so impressed with until you get to the next one and you realize different color, different features. Tremendous showroom.
Well, Ira, seeing that my grandfather sold his first car to you, maybe I could be one that sells you his last.
You know, I didn't cover football in 1935. I just want you to know that, Brian.
All right, all right.
Continue, sir.
Continue, Ira.
All right. One of the offshoots, Lee, of this forgettable record that the Bucs have had under David and McCoy. They're not going to have a top 100 player as voted by the players. Not going to have one.
It doesn't look that way.
Doesn't look like that, you know, unless Donovan Smith comes in at number 7. You know, it doesn't look like that.
You imagine how fans would go bananas if that happened? Crazy.
And Lavonte was asked about that. He was asked about it on Wednesday. And rightfully so. The first thing he said was, well, we ain't done enough winning around here. That's a big factor. It's a big, big factor, Lee. For the most part, you know, you look at teams like the Rams, the Jags, the Eagles, teams that have come out of nowhere. They're going to be well represented on the top 100, and they should be. They got some very good players. Jalen Ramsey's a monster. Yeah. You know, Calais Campbell's a monster. You know, these guys deserve it. But they get more of a high profile because they're in play. You know, they're one step away from the Super Bowl. Everybody's watching the Jaguars. Who the heck watched the Jaguars in the past? So
T.J. Ward, is he a monster, Ira?
Never mind, you're monsters. so, Lee, I think you'd agree that that high profile that the postseason gives you, it helps get you some money and it helps get you some recognition.
Oh, very much so. You know, I would almost pay somebody, I don't know who I would pay, just to see the reaction of a lot of fans if Donovan Smith wound up at the top 20.
I got him at number 8.
When you said I'd pay somebody, Ira sat up. He's like,
What
do I got to do? What's the stipend?
If it's free, it's me, right? What's the stipend?
What's the stipend? Incidentals, Izbits.
I'll buy you a meal at the gumbo shop, free.
You know, look, I think it would be a terrible thing if McCoy finishes his career after 13 seasons without a playoff game. I think that stinks, Steve.
Right, come on. We're 2018. Hopefully, we're one step at a time.
Well, I know one step at a time, but I'm saying, you know, you got the Bucks finishing in the basement again.
I don't have anything. I'm assessing the roster.
You know what? This year, I'm staying out of the prediction business. Lee.
Oh, you are?
I had him at 10 wins last year. I had him at 10
wins. You're not alone.
No, I got to stay out of the prediction.
No, you're not. You're in it. You're in it to win it, Ira. Come on. Now, your picks, your football picks, you're fired. No more.
Yeah, picks were terrible. But you know what? Fantasy League, very, very well represented. Ooh,
you did well, didn't you?
Yeah, you were victorious.
I made the semifinals.
Very impressive. Interesting thing coming up this week. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which is something you really need to be listening to if you like fantasy football. Todd is stepping out of bounds this week. I believe it's going to be Friday, possibly Saturday. He will be doing his podcast, sort of a dedication and a look back at Leroy Selman's restaurant. The closing of Leroy Selman's is coming up. Todd's got some neat nuggets there, and that should be very interesting. I don't even know what he's going to come up with.
A retrospective.
Could we pick the next draft at Leroy's, or they'll be closed by then?
They'll be closed, Ira.
June 23rd they're closing?
Oh, boy.
I think June 24th they're having an auction followed by a big buffet celebration-ish.
That's a Tampa landmark, Lee.
Institution, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's done. It's going to be a massive, revamped, state-of-the-art Outback Steakhouse when they're done with it.
Oh,
No more bacon cheese grits. Those were awesome.
Yeah, we have a lot of history with Leroy Selman's. They hosted the blackout tour where we bust fans to Fort Myers to watch the Bucks game when it was blacked out. They were part of the No Excuses tour, helped us take 2,000 fans to Rays games for $5 a ride.
We held a couple of trib reunions in the back room over there.
Did you?
We did. And
I just remember when Steve mentioned the blackout tour, I just remember how National Sports Radio was going wild about that. That was funnier than that.
You like that, Ira? The blackout tour. That was fantastic. The Tribune covered it. The Tribune covered
that's
that.
That's outstanding.
Where they didn't send you out there, Ira. You're too big for your britches back then.
No, it wasn't free. You know, no free, no me. You know.
Well, they just came to the bus departing. We had bus took off 2 hours and a quarter down there. A lot of drunks.
By the way, we're 2 months away from another event that you are gathering the details about, correct?
On one of the blackout tours. Come on. I'm not announcing that, Ira.
What do you mean?
You
mentioned it the other day on a podcast. You can't follow it up again.
Save the date, August 7th. Save the date.
That's all I want.
Anyway, on one of the blackout tours, Ira, I wasn't on that one, but a woman took her top off in the bus.
Whoa. DeCamper, were you there?
I was not.
Were you there for a mental picture of that, DeCamper?
Mental picture, I'm here for that.
All right, Eric, one thing before we head on out to practice.
Aren't you supposed to snap a little photo when that happens, Steve?
I just said I wasn't there, Eric.
Oh, you weren't there. All right.
And why would I do such a thing?
Poor Richie Lou didn't cover that thing? Or you know,
no, poor Richie Lou.
All right. Garv? Garv wasn't there? Right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
All right. I were pulling a Garv reference out. You just made Garv's day.
All right, you're right. They're going out to practice, Steve, but we got time.
Ira, in your column on Brent Grimes, of course, your columns run Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In your column on Brent Grimes, he really emphasized, and I'd like to get the real scoop on that from your private conversation, he really emphasized the honesty of Dirk Cutter, and he certainly made it seem like there's a lot of BS that flows from NFL coaches, but not on this staff.
Lee, isn't that the message we also got from DeMar Dotson when he did our podcast? And we asked Dotson directly. And he talked about how the team, he thinks the team played hard, even though they, you know, they won only that last game in the last 5-6 weeks. But very competitive and still juiced up, according to Dotson. A lot of it had to do with their respect for Cutter. And why? Honesty. That was the word Dotson used. And when I was talking to Grimes, he brings the same word out. Talking about Cutter, I think players, you know, we've talked about it. They can spot a fake a mile away. Mm-hmm. That's why you know Jameis is not a fake. He's been here 3 years. They'd see through him in 3 minutes. Dot said that. Mm-hmm. You know, players are not dumb. They're not dumb. They know what's genuine. They know what's fake. Cutter, who's made his share of mistakes in 2 years as head coach, but he's honest. He's honest. He's always going to defend his players from that podium. Which we understand. Mm-hmm. We'd be the same way.
Sure.
Not going to throw anybody under the bus. Matter of fact, you know we know the code words for Cutter, because when he starts talking about guys and when the Kemper goes, hey, how'd Donovan Smith play? He played all right. That's code for not very good. Mm-hmm. You know. But in private, Steve, in private, when he has the one-on-ones with guys, and maybe even in a group setting, He reams their ass out if they screw up.
Well, we're sitting on a Hard Knocks.
You know? And he's fair and he's honest, and I think these players respect Dirk Cutter.
Wasn't Parcells like that in the sense that, I wouldn't say the players loved him, but they really respected him because he was honest with them. He didn't mince words.
And Parcells took on the Phil Simms, you know, the symbol of the team. And that's important. That's like what Buckner did to McCoy the other day. I applaud that. Because everybody else will fall in line if you're doing it to McCoy. What's Noah Spence supposed to think?
Well, since you brought that up, do you think that was genuine, or do you think that was a planned stunt?
I don't care. I really don't care. I think it has the same effect, which is all eyes on Buckner. Like, this guy's going to be a straight shooter. We can respect that. I don't really care. I wouldn't say there's no chance that wasn't a stunt or pre-planned. I think you're onto something there.
Well, I'll go even further. There are a lot of weird things that was going on with Gerald McCoy the first week, and I'll go in chronological order. Ryan Jensen comes out and says the team, you know, someone in this organization, could be an assistant coach, could be light, we don't know. Someone in the organization told him to go after people. He said that right outside press conference. He said that. Video is still up on Buccaneers.com. A couple days later, Jameis was on NFL radio. He talked about how Jensen and McCoy have gotten into it. His direct quote, gotten into it. Then a little bit later, a couple days after that, we see what happened in the video of Fox 13 of Buckner blowing up on McCoy.
You're saying these are probably not all coincidences.
I'm starting to think they are. Or it's not a coincidence. Yes. It almost sounds like it's someone is, to use Steve's words, it almost sounds like there was a hit on McCoy. Like someone was saying, you know, this guy's a damn good player. We think he could be a level better even. Let's get under his skin.
Steve, I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. It wouldn't be the first time this ever happened to a good player.
No, and I suggested to Lee that Buckner might have told McCoy, as an example, 4 weeks ago, saying, Gerald, at some point, when you screw up, I am coming after you like you haven't been dealt with.
And so, McCoy said, bring it on.
And he said, I'm good with that, coach. And that was the moment. That doesn't mean McCoy was waiting for it and smiling for it, but it came. It could be something like that.
That's a Bill Walsh move. Bill Walsh used to tell his assistants before practice, I'm going to unload on you because I want to motivate, you know, whatever player. Before practice, I'm going to unload on you today to make an example out of you so I can motivate a player.
That's good coaching. And you don't pick on the little guy. You pick on the big guy.
Ira, the Jameis Winston investigation, got a little nugget today on that. So, before I get to that, you know what? Walking off after the walkthrough today at One Buck Palace, which was done indoors, the walkthrough session and the practice facility, you know who walked the 110 yards or so side by side, talking?
I saw Cutter with a player. Is that who you're talking about?
I'm just letting you guess here. Buckner and McCoy all the way through. I have pictures of it. I've got some good shots of that.
Nice.
All the way through chatting. Who knows what they were chatting about, but it was serious. It appeared to be football related.
When push comes to shove, Lee, Buckner has a lot of respect for Gerald McCoy.
And McCoy cares. I'm sure. And McCoy cares. Absolutely.
By the way, you reminded me of, you're talking about coaches. And Bobby Knight used to tell players, whether it be Isaiah Thomas, Steve Alford, I'm going to go off on you, because when the other players see me going off on you, like, wow, you're making an example of that guy.
That's right.
I better bust my tail.
All right, Sage, I'm going to read you the quote. Okay. Jackson was asked about the dragging out of the Jameis investigation and the lack of due process with these investigations and whether the subject comes up at One Buck Palace. And Jackson said, not necessarily. And he goes on to say, we support each individual, you know, when you're going through a serious situation, especially when the league is investigating. So, you know, they have a system they go about. As a player, you got to abide by that and just pray for the best. But I don't think nothing too worse will come out of that. Whatever happens, you learn from it and you move forward. Hopefully you don't have to deal with anything crazy. We're out here to support each other. So he sort of implies he doesn't think much is going to happen at Jameis. He sort of implies get out the prayer beads and hope Roger Goodell doesn't do something nuts. You know, well, what do you think?
Lee, I wouldn't read too much into DeSean Jackson trying to gauge what kind of punishment, if any, Winston's going to get. I don't think he has any inside knowledge. He might have talked to Jameis Winston about the matter. He hasn't talked to anybody from the league. He's praying for the best because he wants Winston thrown on the football. Now, I can just hear the Winston bashers now. Wait a minute. He might be better off with Fitzpatrick throwing on the football. Come on. We know that's not the case. Fitzpatrick's a backup for a reason. Did a good job last year. Winston's the franchise guy. Ownership's lost zero confidence in Jameis Winston. Zero.
I was going to ask you about that, and I know you...
And I'm sticking with that.
Well, you broke bread with ownership group not that long ago. You know how they feel about Jameis.
If I would have seen any fracture at all in body language or anything, I would report it right now.
And what do you think the Glazers' reaction would be to the haters out there that say they're better off with Fitzpatrick?
I think they'd say those people don't know anything about football. They love Buck fans, but they'd say, that's absurd. That is absolutely absurd. I don't think DeSean Jackson has any inside information. Steve, he's hoping for the best, and he's hoping Winston suits it up in New Orleans, just like Buck fans are hoping Winston suits it up at the Superdome.
Ira, a couple of things.
And by the way, we're in month eight, since the NFL has announced this investigation.
Steve's got
that is crazy.
Jonathan Jones, themmqb.com, over the weekend he predicted the record for every team in the NFL, and he has two teams tied for having the worst record in 2018 of two wins, the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Your
two
thoughts?
Two wins? I thought it was three wins.
Two and three. Well,
He put a tie in there.
That's right.
He did. He put
2-13-1.
Isbits. Who puts a tie in a team's record? Now, come on.
That's like putting blue cheese on a beet salad.
That sounds like a guy who's just looking for attention, Lee. I mean, look.
If you're looking for attention, you don't pick the Bucks. You pick a big market team.
Well, you can't pick the Cowboys to go 2-14.
You can pick the Giants coming off a three-win season.
Nobody cares about
the Bills.
The Giants
were a playoff team last year. And he has them with the worst record.
You got to think the Bucks bottomed out last year at 5-11. I mean, you have to think that. Otherwise, there ain't gonna be a man standing at One Buck Place.
No, it'll be a house cleaning, all right.
You know what? What a house cleaning! You think they did a job on the defensive line in the offseason with five new guys?
Mr. Ayers still unemployed.
It doesn't speak well. It doesn't speak well. Some of these Buck guys are still out there. Guys that played a lot of snaps last year.
Yeah,
that doesn't speak well, Steve. But
McClain.
You know, I just think picking the Bucks to win three games. I'm not even sure that guy believes what he's writing. Sounds like he's trying to get clicks.
If he wanted attention, he would have picked the Giants, and every tabloid in New York would have wrote about it.
Yeah, I can't say the guy's
doing
that at all.
Although, you know what? Vegas, Vegas are not believers in the Bucks either.
Six and a half. Six and a half
not,
wins.
Not very good. Not
which
very good.
Is a far cry from two wins.
Soon we won't have to say Vegas. We can just say Jersey or Delaware.
There you go.
Wilmington.
Ira, DeSean Jackson, just bringing him up. You know, it very much gets overlooked. It's something I'm going to be writing about. And I just want to get an early take, and we discussed this before the podcast, but an early take from you. DeSean Jackson, Ira, right now he's 52nd all time in yards, reception yards. Now, let's say he has a good season this year, let's call it 900 yards. Okay, that then puts him top 40 all time. His average yards per carry already is really the best of this era, next to one guy played for the Saints. I forget which guy that was. But those are two very prominent stats when it comes to the Hall of Fame. And Jackson's in great shape. If he has, and I'm just going to throw you a hypothetical, Ira, if he has two more good years, pretty good years, let's just say they average
1,800, gets 1,800 yards in those 2 years.
1,800 yards. That's going to pull him, and maybe he has one more year after that that's not so great. And let's say that's the deal. That's going to put him just about at 12,000 yards. That's Michael Irvin, Don Maynard, Hines Ward territory. He'll come up in the conversation one day, at least the conversation. I don't know. What's your thoughts here? A few good years by DeSean Jackson. He could be a Hall of Famer.
Do you still have your list in front of you?
I do.
Where's Isaac Bruce on that list?
Isaac Bruce, fifth all time.
Can't get it, Canton. Can't get it. Now, I didn't say he won't get it. Howard Balzer's made a couple of good presentations for Bruce. And Balzer's beside himself because he thinks, with all this nonsense about Terrell Owens, I got a great candidate who's a model citizen. There ain't no knocks on Isaac Bruce. On or off the field, whatever. Nothing negative, zero. And he can't get him in.
Oh, he goes nuts about that.
Now, I think he's got a chance next year because Moss and Owens are out of the way, and Bruce will be the best receiver on the board, you know, going into the class of 2019. He's got a chance. Balzer's got a chance. But Bruce is number five. DeSean Jackson's numbers are not going to match Isaac Bruce's. They're not. You know who's got very good numbers is Vincent Jackson. Especially in yards per catch. I think it's very comparable to DeSean Jackson.
But it won't be when it's all said and done.
Well, yards per catch will be. Yards per catch.
Right now, yards per catch, DeSean Jackson is at 17.3.
Okay.
Career. He's led the NFL three times in that category.
That's strong.
And Vincent Jackson, actually, stand by, Sage. Stand by.
While he's looking it up, Torrey Holt.
Very good. Very good. Between him and Isaac Bruce, I don't know who you pick.
That's what I'm thinking. Torrey Holt, almost underrated.
Yeah, very good.
Vincent Jackson, Ira, you're right. Close, 16.8 yards a carry. Only led the NFL in that category once. And that was with, of course, Josh Freeman throwing him the football in 2012. And somehow, magically, Vincent Jackson walks in from San Diego, of all places, steps in, and Josh Freeman has no chemistry issues with this target. And that they light it up. It's Vincent Jackson's best year ever. And Freeman is, fourth, fifth year quarterback.
You know, but to Steve's point, DeSean Jackson, if Jameis can establish some chemistry, and there's no reason in the world he shouldn't, really. I mean, it's not going to reflect well on Jameis if he's unable to hit DeSean Jackson this fall.
Jackson
will end up with a very, very good NFL career. Steve says got to be in the conversation. I don't think he's crazy. I don't think that's crazy.
More and more, the more I think about it, the more I think this is just a term Steve likes to use, hot air, about this chemistry. I mean, Jameis comes in as a rookie, throws up all these yards. He didn't play college ball with these guys. You know, Godwin came on late last year. Where was Godwin the year before that? Is that Penn State? You know, it takes two to tango. And I am not going to put all the blame on Jameis.
That's a fair point, Lee.
Sure,
it's a fair point.
And it's a point for another podcast, Ira. We're heading out to practice. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa.com, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon.com, FanRetreat.com. We're out of here. We will see you on Tuesday next week. Special guests on the podcast next week. Start subscribing now.